rise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 stars. Come just as you are, hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are, come and see, come receive, come and live forever. Come just as you Spirit call, come just as you are, come receive Christ the King, come and live forevermore. Life everlasting and strength for today, taste of living water and never thirst again. Come just as you are, hear the Spirit call. Come just as you as you are, hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are, come receive Christ the King, come and live
elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your courts.
skies cry out for you, the living God, your Spirit's water to my soul. I've tasted and I've seen, come once again to me. I will draw near to you, I will draw near to you. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts and thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts and thousands elsewhere, and thousands elsewhere.
You may be seated. And the children, you see the banner waving around? You may go and follow the banner carrier. Oh boy. As we prepare our hearts to continue in worship, I invite you to pray a prayer of confession as we are reminded how much we desperately need God. One of the reasons why we confess our sins is it's a check. Yes, we are people that desperately need God and His grace and forgiveness in our lives because we can't do it on our own. And so I invite you to first join me in silent prayer of confession, and then I'll lead us in a corporate prayer. Will you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you today knowing that there are many times that we have not loved you with our whole heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. Lord, there are many times where we fall short, where we don't quite meet the mark, and we know that we have failed over and over again, and that we have sinned against you and you alone, Lord. But we know that when we come before you asking you to forgive us of our sins, asking you to renew our spirit, to renew in us a clean and right spirit, one that is steadfast, one that is faithful to you, that you are faithful and just, Lord, that you are good and kind and you are loving and your steadfast love endures forever and that you do forgive us. We know this not because of any goodness that comes from us, not because of anything inherently good about us or even because of our confession, but because of what Jesus Christ, your Son, has done for us on our behalf. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that you have given us your Son, that you have made a way that we could come and have a right relationship with you, that you are faithful and that you do cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that you do put and renew a steadfast spirit within us, and that you are the one who shows us love, grace, and forgiveness, even when there are times when we don't deserve it. So, Lord, we thank you for that. And that is why we can come before you sharing our failings and asking that you would renew in us a steadfast spirit to love you, to love others more, and to be changed more and more into the likeness of your Son. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now I know that every time that we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just, and he will forgive us of our sins. And one of the passages that I will go back to over and over again, maybe because I need to hear it over and over again. I'm a little slow at learning things. Ask my wife. But what Paul writes to the church in Rome, when they are having troubles and tribulations and when they are struggling, when they are being persecuted, he reminds them that there is nothing in all of creation that can separate us from the love of God and found in Christ Jesus. That is what we can cling to. So whether it is trials or tribulations, whether it is our sin or what we feel is our failings, God says there's nothing that can separate us from that love because of what Jesus has done. May we cling to that good news. May we cling to that every day. Amen. I invite you to hear these words from the book that we love, coming from Isaiah, the scripture lesson for today. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 9. Hear these words from the book that we love. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on that which is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me. Listen and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest affairs. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you and my faithful love promise to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and a commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations that you did not know, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them. And to our God, for he freely pardons. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways your ways. As the heavens are as high above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts higher than your thoughts. These are the words of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me as we pray for a blessing on God's word? Gracious Heavenly Father, you have given us many good gifts. You have given us your Son. You have given us your Spirit, and you have given us your Word. And so, Lord, we pray that your Word will be the rule of our life, that your Spirit might guide us and shape us and change our hearts to be hearts of flesh instead of hearts of stone, that we might hear a word from you, and that the glory of Christ will be our single concern today. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I had a friend a few years ago tell me a story of when he worked on the farm with his grandpa. And his grandpa was a hard working farmer, and he would, you know, the tasks at hand he would focus on. But every time grandma would ring the triangle bell saying it's time for lunch or coffee time or supper, it didn't matter what he was doing, that old farmer would drop everything and walk home. And Todd asked, why do you do this? And he said, because I missed I didn't come when I was summoned last time, and there wasn't food on the table when I came. So from then on, every time he heard the bell ring saying, "It's come and get it," he dropped everything and went. The passage today is speaking kind of like that, saying Jesus is ringing the bell, God is ringing the bell saying, "Come and get it. Don't miss out. Don't miss out on this opportunity to see a chance to be with me, to find refreshment, to find nourishment for our souls. Come and get it." We find ourselves in the middle of the season of Lent. For some of us, that might mean not a hill of beans. For some of us, that might be something special. I know that when I was a child, I thought that people were just misspeaking something, and I was a little confused on why they would give up something for Lent, that stuff that you find in the bottom of your pocket. I might be a little wiser now and realize that, no, they weren't misspeaking, that Lent is not the same as Lent. There is a difference. But then, why would we celebrate Lent? Why would we observe Lent? Why would we have special attention to this period of time, these 40 days before Easter? I mean, if you look in Scripture, there is no mandate for it. There is no real good reason in Scripture on why we would observe the season of Lent, minus the fact that a lot of the things that we pay special attention to during Lent, we find in Scripture. The call to repentance. This paying special focus and attention of giving up things so that we can focus our attention on Jesus. This special time of remembering just how much we desperately need God and His grace because we can't do it on our own. Makes celebrating Good Friday and Easter Sunday all the more sweet. And so although there isn't the biblical mandate, the themes that we see on observing Lent still run true. Let us focus our attention on this special time as we prepare our hearts to celebrate Easter and all that means of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, what Christ has done for us, laying down His life for us, that we might be a people who focus on Jesus. And so this passage that we read today, it's a Lenten passage. It is a passage that calls us to repentance. It's a passage that calls us to give up on trying to do things on our own. It's a passage of saying, come and focus on Jesus. Focus your attention on the one who gave it all for you. And He's made it possible. So as we turn our attention to this text, I invite you to come with me. More like 2,500, 2,600 years ago, back when Israel is hearing these words for the first time. If we remember back, and I'm not saying anything that you guys don't know already. I'm sure you know it better, sometimes better than I do. But Israel, they were the people that God had called, that God had said, "You are going to be my people and I am going to be your God. I will make you a blessing to the rest of the world. All people are going to be blessed through you." And so He said, guess what? I am going to make a special relationship with you. You are going to be with me. I'll be with you. And this God that they had a special relationship with, these Israelites, he had made the promise with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and with a mighty hand he brought these people out of bondage, out of the land of slavery, and into a land flowing with milk and honey. The goodness of life was there, and God was having, God's presence and goodness was felt and seen and experienced. There was nothing that they could, there was no doubt in their mind that God loved them and that God was with them. But the Israelites were a stubborn people. Wasn't very long before they doubted God, before they started chasing after things that were fleeting, things that wouldn't truly satisfy, whether it was the other gods in the area, whether it was wealth, whether it was prestige, whether it was security, whether it was, you name it. They were going after all these other things, not chasing after their first love, and that being God. And God would send prophets to call them back, saying, come back to your first love. Come back to the one who made you. Come back to the one who truly satisfies. And they wouldn't listen. And so eventually, God handed them the northern tribes over to the Assyrians. 200 years later or so, he handed over the southern tribe of Judah and Benjamin over to the Babylonians. That's where we see our passage today. The temple has been destroyed. The people are in a foreign land. They are impoverished. They do not have homes that they can call their homes. They're living in a land that they do not know. They are around a people that do not speak their language. God seems distant to them. God seems very much far away, as if he had abandoned them and had forsaken them. They did not see or experience the goodness of God in a long time. Their life was full of destruction and abandonment, chaos and despair. Out of this bleak existence, Isaiah speaks these words to these people. Come. Come, you who are thirsty, come to the waters and drink. You who don't have money, you who don't have anything at all to give to God, come anyways. We know that you don't have the money. We know that God knows that you're impoverished. God knows that you are physically and spiritually bankrupt. You don't have anything to offer. But come anyways. Come to the waters. Come to me because I am the source of life. Come. And then what does he say? Even if you do have money, even if you can try and work your way, that money, that works, those don't work anyways. They aren't worth anything here. The stuff that I can give you, you can't buy. The stuff that I can give you, your work isn't good enough for. It doesn't satisfy. It doesn't work here. Just come to me. Listen to me. Dwell with me. These people needed to hear these words. But God goes beyond just saying, come to me. Come to me. What does he say next? What does he say? He says, I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I am going to make a relationship. So when you come to me, it's not just for a one-time fill. It's not just for one short period of time. This is going to be, I am going to renew my faithful love, my faithful promise to you that I will still be your God and you will still be my people. One that's everlasting, one that will last for a long time. I love David that much. That's how much I love you. hang on to these words, hang on to these words. Guess what? I'm going to do even more than that. I'm going to make him a witness. You are going to see people come to you. You are going to see people run to you because of what I am doing in and through you. I am changing you from a people who are desolate, from a people who are abandoned, from a people who are refugees, from a people who are bankrupt. I am going to make you something that you couldn't do on your own. I'm going to make you beautiful. I am going to make you wonderful, that people, when they see you, they see me, and they will want to be around you because of what I am doing in and through you. These are words that the Israelites needed to hear. These are words that we need to hear. But he goes beyond just saying, I'm going to make a promise to you. I'm going to be your God. What does God say later on? He says, let the wicked abandon their thoughts. Let the unrighteous turn from their ways. The interesting thing is the second one, the unrighteous, from his thoughts, is sometimes translated, let the troubled, let the sorrowful, let the broken person turn from his ways. And it gives us an indication that it's not just the mass murderers, not just the terrorists, not just the evildoers, not just the adulterous person that needs to turn from his ways, but it's actually people like you and I that God is calling. Turn from your ways because you're trying to do things on your own. You're trying to make things right on your own. You're trying to do things on your own. And when you try and do things on your own, you're going against God's way. When you're trying to live your life the way you want on your own, you're going against God's desires. And that makes you unrighteous. That makes you someone who is sinning, someone who is not walking the path of God. You're going against walking away from God. And so God is saying, turn from that, change, come back to me, the one who gives you true life. For my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are better than your ways. We too are a people who need to hear these words. We too are a people who need to hear this, because we aren't much different than the Israelites back then. We're not that much different. Granted, we might not be seeing the church being torn down. Sure, we might not see a destruction. We might not be refugees. But aren't we too a people who thirst to see God's goodness and presence in our lives? Aren't we too a people who long to see wholeness and restoration in our lives, to see God's presence real and evident in our lives and in our families' lives? Aren't we too a people who sometimes try and fill our lives with things that are fleeting? It isn't by accident that we live in a nation that has one of the highest addiction rates in the world. We drug ourselves to death. Maybe it might not be actual drugs that you take pills with. Sometimes our drug of choice might be entertaining ourselves to death. I know that my addiction has ended around February sometime because football is over. But isn't our addictions all that still that real? Whether it's trying to people please, whether it's trying to be right, whether it's entertaining ourselves to death, whether it's having a nice nicer house or a nicer car, keeping up with the Joneses, having that picture-perfect family, whatever our addiction to satisfy the longings of our heart, whatever it may be, maybe it is even trying to be a good enough Christian. All of our addictions, all of our longings to fill that void in our life, whatever it may be, God is still calling, come to me. Come to me, all you who are thirsty. Come, all without money. Buy, eat, and drink. Enjoy the richest affairs. Come to me. Because I am the one who will satisfy. I am the one your soul really longs for. I am the one that you're truly desiring. Even though you're filling yourself with all these other things that are fleeting, come to me. Come to me. I'm going to make you a people that I am working in you and through you to make you a people that God, that others, when they see you, they will see the presence of God in your life and they will want to know you because they will know me through you. Come to me. Listen to me. Stop trying to do everything on your own. Stop trying to live your life on your own. Stop trying to do everything on your own. Turn from that way and come to me. We know these words are true. We know they are good. Because God didn't just speak to the Israelites a long time ago in a faraway place called Babylon, but he speaks to us today because he has sent his son. It isn't by accident Jesus would say through the Gospel of John, I am the bread of life. I am the one who's going to satisfy your hungers. I am the one who's going to give you life. Stop chasing after all these other things. Come to me. Turn from your ways. Come to me. Jesus says, I am living water. If you drink what I offer, when he said that to the Samaritan woman, I can give you some water that will truly satisfy and you won't be thirsty again. He wasn't just saying that cliche-like. He was saying, no, I am the one that your heart truly desires. Come to me. I know we are a people who have lived in, most of us have lived in the church for a long time. And so these words might be kind of, well, they aren't for me. But I think we as a people need to be reminded over and over again. We are a people who need to have special attention, pay special attention to what God is doing and saying, yes, I do need to reassess my life. Yes, I do need to say, you know, there are parts of my life that I need to focus attention on, that I need to focus my attention on Jesus, that I need to focus my attention on doing what he desires rather than what I desire. What does that look like for us as a people? What does that look like for us as the body of Christ here at Crossroads? Is it at times forgiving our brother or sister who's done us wrong? Maybe it's showing a hand of love and compassion. Maybe it's building lunches at Meals of the Heartland. Maybe it's moving out of our comfort zone to talk to someone who the rest of your team doesn't like, and everybody knows it. But God's saying, that's not my, avoiding that person is not my way. speak to them. Whatever it may be, whatever our ways of turning from doing things on our own, trying to do things on our own, whether it's living our life the way we want it, whether it's trying to be a good enough Christian so that when God sees us, he'll say, wow, you're pretty good. My son didn't need to die for you. That's probably not the thing. That's not what God is calling. That's not what Scripture is calling. Because when we look at all of these things that Scripture in this passage, who is the one who's acting? Who is the one who's calling? Who is the one who's inviting? It is God who is calling, come. It is God who is providing the water, the bread of life. He provided his son for us. It is God who is reviving our souls. It is God who is beautifying us, making us beautiful. It is God who is forgiving and pardoning. It is God who is the one in action. Not us, it's just we're responding to what God has already done. We are a people who need to hear that. We are a people who need to be reminded, yes, God is the one doing the work. How are we going to respond? Are we going to come and get it this Lenten season? Are we going to hear the call? It might not be on a triangle, but may we too be like that old farmer. When God calls, may we drop what we are doing and come and get Jesus. Will you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this day. We want to thank you for how you have worked in our lives, for how you are still calling us to be your people, even when we are at times unfaithful, even when we chase after things that are fleeting, even when we try to do things on our own. Lord, you still call us and say, come to me. And revive your souls because you will find nourishment in me. And Lord, we cling to that. We cling that you freely pardon when we turn from our ways and come to you. May our hearts be prepared. May we prepare our hearts this season of Lent as we look forward to celebrating Easter Sunday, when we know that sin and death have been conquered because your son was raised from the dead. He has paid for it all. And that is why you can say to us, come, because I have paid the cost. It is free to you. Lord, thank you. That is why we can celebrate. That is why we can worship you today. It is also why we can come before you today with our prayers of concern and praise. Lord, we thank you for how you have worked in the people here at Crossroads Lives, how they have been giving of their time and talents and treasures to prepare meals that will go to many people across the country and across the world that they might have food. May those meals be nourishment not only for their body, but that they might know the love of Jesus and their souls might be revived as well. Lord, we know that there are many who have suffered lost of loved ones, who have gone on ahead of us, that have run the race, and now they see you face to face. And Lord, we celebrate that they are now enjoying you forever. But Lord, we know that our hearts are heavy. Our hearts are heavy with the loss of our loved ones. We pray particularly for Kwame York. We pray that you will be with him and his family as they are mourning the loss of his sister. Lord, we pray that you will be with others who have lost loved ones. As our hearts go out, may we be ones who bring comfort to them. Oh Lord, we pray that your Spirit will bring them comfort and peace as well. Lord, we pray that and thank you for how you have worked in Joan as she has had a successful hip surgery. Lord, we know that the road to recovery is long and that it will be a long time of recovery. Lord, we pray that you will give her perseverance and patience during this time. And that as her body heals, that you might bring healing to her, that she might be able to walk again with full motion. Lord, we thank you for that kind of gift. Lord, there are many other prayer concerns for this congregation. May you hear them. We pray that you will be with this congregation here at Crossroads, that as their hearts are moved, that they might go out from this place to be a witness, to bear witness to you. That in not only what they say, but what they do points others back to you. That others might know the love of Jesus Christ because of their witness and their life. May you give them courage to boldly proclaim you in all their areas of life. Lord, we pray that you will be with not only this congregation, but the churches here in the Des Moines area and in Iowa and U.S. and yes, in all the corners of this world, because they are your churches, that your name may be proclaimed throughout all of this world. And that someday every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, and that there might be peace and love flowing in this world. Lord, we pray that your Spirit will be with our brothers and sisters in Christ throughout this world, because we know that there are many places that cannot worship as freely as we do here. So, Lord, we pray that they will be encouraged, that they will have a strengthening of heart, and that they might be an encouragement to us that we too can bear witness. Lord, we also thank you for the many blessings that you have given to us, how you have blessed us not only with the gift of your Son, but the gift of family and friends and this congregation and treasures that you've made us stewards to care for. And so, Lord, we pray that as we give a portion of our tithes and offerings, that they might be a token of us giving ourselves to you. Not only our time, talents, and treasures, but yes, our very selves over to you and your service. May you use these gifts to further your kingdom and bless the gift and the giver. We pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The deacons, please come forward for today's tithes and offerings.
Just as I am. Hello? Okay. Hi, I'm Shannon, and I just have a quick announcement for all high school students and chaperones going on serve this summer. We're having a quick meeting after church before Sunday school in the high school Sunday school room. So everyone come and bring your parents.
Hi, I just wanted to give a quick overview of the Meals from the Heartland project that we had yesterday. Wonderful turnout. Thank you for everybody that was able to make it. I think we were at, we estimated between 60 or 70, and we actually hit our meal goal as well of 35,200 and change, which was the money that we donated in as well. So thank you very much for attending.
Next Sunday at this time, six of us will be worshiping with our brothers and sisters in Christ in Honduras. We've got Angie and Emma Veenstra, Jacob and I, Shannon Ostenink, and Stella Veldkamp, and we'll miss you, Liz and Noah. I just want to ask for your prayers. Just cover us in prayers. We'll be leaving on the 12th, coming back on the 19th, so please pray for us.
April 1st and 2nd, we're going to have the opportunity to serve the Christian Motorcycle Association group again. Generally speaking, 250 to maybe as many as 375 motorcyclists have a regional rally here. And if you've never attended that or helped serve that, I would encourage you to do so. Next week and the weeks following, I'll have a sign-up sheet for people to volunteer to help cook and serve the meal that day, and probably most importantly, to help us clean up. There will also be a list of items, mainly salads and cookies and bars, to help feed those individuals. Your second opportunity in April will be on April 22nd. As we go downtown to the shelter to do our dinner again, and I will have a sign-up sheet out for that. So just as your heart calls you to do so, please help us feed all these different people that are coming into our care. And I don't think we're cooking anymore in April, so thank you.
Boy, there's a lot of stuff going on. 3 weeks from today, March 27th, it'll be, as Steve referred to, we will have Easter Sunday. And we are going to have a little different Easter choir. I don't know if anybody of you knows or not, but I am getting older. And I'm looking, don't laugh. I'm looking at what we're going to do is we're going to do a little retro. We're going to go back a little bit. We're going to have a truly community church choir. And what I mean by that is I want anybody and everybody to help us out in a choir. We're going to get together Thursday night, that's the 24th, and have a little practice. And if you can't make Thursday night, that doesn't give you an excuse. I want you to show up Sunday and sing with us anyway. And we want old people. We want young people. We want people who can sing. We want people who can't sing. If you can carry the tune in a bucket, bring your bucket with you. But we want everybody, and we're going to sing some of the old songs. We're going to get together. We're just going to have a good, old-fashioned, beautiful church choir where we sing from our hearts. That's Thursday the 24th. We'll have practice, and that's Easter Sunday the 27th. So plan on it. Thank you.
You please stand and receive the Lord's blessing. Now, may the Lord bless you, and may he keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, both today and forevermore, for he has called and said, "Come, all who are thirsty, come and drink, and he will satisfy." In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Lord, ruler of everything, glory to our